You know, we've been talking, we started talking about this in August and took a month and started talking about compassion, but we're back on this whole topic, who do you trust? And the reason we went back to it is that we, as people, find that we place our trust in things that are not as powerful as God. Our trust should be in God. No doubt about it. Last week we talked about his creative nature and how he has such great plans for us. And when we fall short, he steps in with his creativity and begins to put things back together. And how does that connect with trust? The more we see God move, the more we trust him. When we see God do something supernatural, our trust level in God goes up. Now, it should always stay up here, but many times we find that it wanes. But today we're going to talk about his loving nature, how he loves us beyond anything that we ever deserve. Psalms 118:6 reminds us, the Lord is for me, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere people do to me? And as I added last week, what can mere circumstances do to us? But listen to it out of the Message version. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who would dare lay a hand on me? God is my strong champion. In other words, he is everything we need, and therefore, he is trustworthy. David makes this declaration in Psalms 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember and trust in the name of the Lord our God. Remember what God has done. It builds trust in us for what he's going to do. I wonder how many of you remember the group, and you got to be my age or older to remember this, the Righteous Brothers. People still play their music. But they did a song, and it was entitled, You've Lost That Loving Feeling. Anybody remember that? Yes. I would break out in song, but I care too much about you. But that song is all about a guy that noticed his girlfriend was treating him differently. Not necessarily bad, but just differently. And it was obvious to him that something had changed. That change caused him to feel unloved. See, that can only happen with a conditional kind of love. All of a sudden, this guy couldn't trust her. You see, when he felt loved by her, he could trust her. There's one thing for certain, God will never lose that loving feeling toward us. Amen. And that one fact should cause us to trust him fully. Amen. I want us to remind ourselves how much of that loving feeling God has for his creations. And God's love letter to us, the Bible, his word, has so many expressions of love. But here's a few. We actually sang this one. John 3:16-17. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that so that everyone who believes him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's how much God loves us. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us whilst we were still sinners, meaning we didn't deserve this. But it didn't hold back God's huge expression of love. Romans 8:38-39, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love that God, love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know, Pastor AJ, you're probably working on this bass thing that keeps rumbling, but maybe it's just in my monitor or something, but it is really kind of throwing me off. I don't know if y'all hear it or not. Do you? Okay. All right. I feel better now. I thought maybe it was just me. You know, I hear stuff sometimes. Ephesians 2:4-5. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we've been saved. Further down in that book to the church, Ephesians 3:18, and you may have the power to understand, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. The truth is that when we feel loved by God, we will obey him. We will live for him. We will show others his love. We will live his way, and we'll trust him. I've shared this a few times over the years, but when I met Susan, I fell instantly in love with her. That's not just a little saying. I did. From the moment we met, I fell in love with her. I'd never met anybody like her. She was so beautiful and still is, sweet and kind and loving in every way. But that feeling wasn't instantly mutual. She liked me okay. But since I'd been married before and was raising two young boys, I didn't come packaged the way she had always dreamed of. Instead of a knight in shining armor, I was a bit tarnished. In fact, somebody in her family used to tell her that she found me in a second time around shop. He's a good friend of mine now. So with that scenario, I had a choice. I could cut bait and go on about my life, or I could pursue her with everything in me. Thankfully, I chose to pursue her. Now, she'll tell you to this day, it was a wonderful thing to be pursued. You see, I loved her so much and still do. Pursuing her was so worth the efforts. Here are two facts. God loves us more than I love Susan. But also, he shows us his love by pursuing us. Ezekiel 34:11 said, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will myself search and find my sheep. He will pursue you. Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears. And he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. God rejoices over us. See, he will pursue you. Psalms 139, 7 and 8. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. Listen, God is always pursuing us. And in Hebrews 13:5, God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk off and leave you. God continues to pursue us. See, those are words that communicate that love and feeling. Those are words of pursuit. Now, in the Old Testament, we see a clear picture of pursuit. Hosea was an unusual prophet and had an unusual experience. God told him to marry a woman of ill repute, a lady of the evening, a woman that made her living by being with other men. How'd you like to get that word? Hosea chapter 1, starting in verse 2. The first time God spoke to Hosea, he said, find a woman of ill repute and marry her. Make this woman the mother of your children. And here's why. The whole country has become a house of ill repute, unfaithful to me, God. Hosea did it. He picked Gomer. She got pregnant, had a son. Gomer got pregnant again. This time she had a daughter. The fact is that Gomer, although it looked like her life was put together, didn't stay happy and content in her newfound life. The Bible tells us she eventually left and returned to her former life. But look at what God told Hosea to do. He told him to pursue her. Hosea writes this in Hosea chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Then God ordered me, start all over, love your wife again, your wife who's in bed with her latest boyfriend, your cheating wife. Love her the way I, God, love the Israelite people, even as they flirt and party with every god that takes their fancy. I've got to tell you, I would have lost that loving feeling for her. Wouldn't you? But God says, no. I want you to look at this through my eyes. Gomer is still worth pursuing. And when you do that, you are actually showing my people a picture of their life and what's available to them. Now, Hosea continues, I did it. I paid good money to get her back. It cost me the price of a slave, and then I told her, from now on, you're living with me. No more old life, no more sleeping around. You're living with me, and I am living with you. What if he hadn't pursued her? See, God required Hosea to pursue Gomer as an example to God's people of his great love and pursuit of them. The fact is, and it's very clear, Gomer didn't deserve to be redeemed. Gomer didn't deserve to be pursued. Gomer didn't deserve to be forgiven. Gomer didn't deserve to be even loved in the natural sense. But neither do we. Think about this. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. Jesus never holds back that loving feeling. He never withholds his love from us. No matter how we act. See, the guy in the song was treated poorly. And he saw that she had taken away that love and his world was rocked. If I hadn't have won Susan over, I don't know what kind of mess I would have been in. But I pursued her. And God pursues us. And he never removes that loving feeling, no matter what you do. There can't be, I don't think, a worse example of a life outside of God than what Gomer was doing. And she continued doing it, and she even went back to do it after she had seen how good life could be. But isn't that a picture of us at times? We know the forgiveness of God. We understand the love of God. Yet somehow we're drawn to the old way of life at times, and we find ourselves sinking back into that place, and it's not even logical because things were better on this side. But because God never removes that loving feeling, he always pours out his love. There are always instances of God's love. He is always pursuing us. He is going after us. He doesn't want you to perish. In fact, he wants none to perish. Jesus never stops pursuing us. Jesus never removes his love from us. Jesus' loving nature overrides all logic. He loves us even when we go back to our old ways. He loves us when we ignore his goodness. He loves us when we totally reject his love. None of us want to say that we've done that, but we have. We've rejected God's love. When we don't trust him in measure, we are saying, I don't know that you really love me, and I'm not so sure I love you. I think maybe you've changed your position on me. And God's word is clear. He never changes his position. He never will remove that loving feeling. He is going to pour out his love on his people. He is. Now here's more from God's love letter to us. Lamentations 3:22. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They are created new every morning. And the writer says, how great is your faithfulness. That's God's loving nature. It never runs out. It's new every morning. And in Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 3, it wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn, easy marks for sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out a new life so generously, God's gift had restored our relationship with Him and given us back our life. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. And that scripture ends, you can count on this. See, that's God's loving nature. God's loving nature has nothing to do with our behavior. We're used to withholding our love when somebody does something wrong. We just got a new little puppy, and he's the cutest thing we ever had. I tell you what, I feel bad saying that since we just lost the dog that we really loved. I feel like I'm cheating on my first dog. But anyway, we just love this little one, but he does some crazy things at times, and you got to wonder, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Why would he do that? He chewed through my computer cable. I don't know what I'm going to do when my battery runs out. But it's just out of pure joy he did that. And I'm going, what in the world is wrong with you? I kind of removed that loving feeling from him. But it doesn't last long. He's too cute. But it doesn't last long. But I find myself hardening up. Wait a minute. What have you done? When we think about God, he never does that. He is actually not surprised at what you've done. He's not surprised at what I've done, because he understands our fleshly nature. But he never removes that loving feeling. He just never does. It is his pleasure to love his creations. And it would be to our detriment, he knows it, if he ever removed his love from us. We would just fall on the floor and die. If Psalms 103:8, God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. How many can say hallelujah for that? As high as the heavens is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as the sunrise is from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins. He has created this divide between us and our sins. And as we see Gomer step back over that divide really quick, and it's easy to fault her, but how many times, even though there's this great divide between us and our sins, do we leap over and get into the mire and the mess again? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, starting in verse 1, It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this all on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven, in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower his grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. So often we think that the good stuff is in the here and now. But God is not going to withhold that loving feeling. He is not going to pour out his love upon you. He is not going to withhold his love from you, no matter where you go. Even if you go back to the vomit that you got so tired of you doing, he's going to love you. God will never lose that loving feeling for us. Never. That loving feeling from God causes us to trust him. The more we are loved, the more we trust him. Susan trusts me fully because I love her completely. I can trust her fully because she loves me completely. And as wonderful as that is, here's what's even more important. I can trust God fully because He loves me completely. Even though, and maybe you can say this, I've failed Him miserably. God's ability and His showering of love is not contingent on our doing right things or wrong things. His love is always there. He will never lose that love and feeling. He will never take away His love from us. See, I can trust God fully because He loves me completely. Because His love never fails toward me, I will trust Him always. Now, that's much easier to say than to live out. But the more we live for Jesus, the easier that part is. The more we embrace His love, the easier it is to walk through the mess of life. He never promised us no mess, but He did promise us that He'll never leave us or forsake us. He did promise us that He's never going to remove His love from us. And sometimes we find ourselves, and I imagine Hosea was in this place. Well, God, what are You asking me to do? Go and take that woman as my wife when You know good and well how deep in sin she is. And you notice that He didn't say, wait till she cleans up to take her. I want You to go take Gomer for Your wife. Yes, I know everything she's been involved in. Yes. And I wonder if Hosea, in his mind, began to question God. God, are You serious? You don't really mean that, do You? I may have had a bad pizza last night and I'm dreaming this or something. It just doesn't seem right. We have to wonder. But anytime that you question God's ways, anytime that you find yourself questioning what God has said, remember this in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways My ways, declares the Lord. If I were God, I would have done something different. But I'm not God. And I'm so glad that I'm not. And I'm so glad that what He did, I went along with. Hosea, I know, knew that God was in this whole scenario. It looks like a marriage made for just craziness, right? Destroyed. It doesn't look like it'd ever be good. But that's how God can take something so bad and turn it around. That scripture says, for as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, God is saying, no matter what, you can trust Me. I have got this handled. And I might ask you to do something a little less logical, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. And it doesn't mean it's not Him. Now, I imagine Hosea had a few questions. The Bible doesn't say that, but I imagine he did. But I imagine Hosea wanted to please God more than anything else. And when you want to please God, you trust Him. When you feel loved by God, you trust Him. And you go for it. You step into uncharted waters. This is not another story like this in the Bible. He stepped into uncharted waters. And he trusted God. He knew that God's thoughts were not his thoughts. He knew that God's ways were not his ways. He knew he could trust God no matter what. I want us to think about how reckless that love is that God has for us. There's some of you, and maybe here or maybe online, that have actually questioned whether God really loves you. God will not withhold His love from you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter where you are today. And when you are willing to obey Him and trust Him, when you are willing to accept the pursuit that He has for you, there's some awful good things that can come. There's some awful good things that can come. You don't have to understand them all. You just don't. And we're a questioning people. We are. Our nature is to ask God, well, it's got to make sense. Well, it doesn't have to make sense. Because if God is doing something in your life, it's going to be for good. We can trust that. It's going to be for good. We can trust Him in everything. We know that He's got our best interests at heart, and the things that He wants to do in us are for kingdom good. What He did in Hosea's life was to benefit God's people, to show God's people what could happen. And they had been rebellious, they had been unfaithful, they had been all these things that we are sometimes. And we need to be reminded, so reminded, that God loves us. And when we get a dose of His love, guess what? Our trust factor begins to rise. All of a sudden, the thing that we wouldn't trust God for, we started trusting God for. What's changed? Well, we saw His love. And He doesn't withhold that loving feeling. And I know what you're thinking. Well, it's got to be more than a feeling. It is more than a feeling, but it's certainly a feeling. Susan can walk confidently when she feels she's loved by me, but more importantly, loved by God. I can operate more confidently when I know that God loves me and He's pleased with me. Now, Him being pleased with me doesn't mean that I don't sin. I do. I mess up just like you do. But God begins to take that sin and move it off of us and cause this great divide between us and the sin. And we don't ever have to go back over that divide. We make a choice sometimes. Gomer made a choice, but Hosea rescued her and he brought her back into the home. See, I imagine when she left everything. Her son, her daughter, her husband. The security of that home. But he went and got her. And how many of you were in a place where you didn't have it? You thought it was going to be okay, but it turned out not being so good. And God came in and He plucked you out of that. And He placed you on solid ground. The one thing I want to leave with every one of us today is how much He loves us and how it is reckless, not in the bad sense. My wife told me I was a little reckless yesterday in my driving. I had a couple of instances, so that's reckless in the bad way. But His recklessness in loving us is not at all in the bad way. He just will do anything to show you He loves you. So I just want you to bow your heads. You might have to look up for the words if you want to sing along. You can do that. But I want our worship team just to pour over us the reminder of God's love, His reckless love toward us that never fails, that we don't have to earn, that is freely given.